Welcome back to the Christian Minute Podcast, where we encourage the believer, strengthen the leader, and inspire the achiever. My name's Devin Caswell. If we haven't met before, I'm a YouTuber and I'm a vlogger, and I run this podcast just for you guys. To find out more information about this podcast or other resources, go to thechristianminute.carrd.co.
We're going to go ahead and dive into the message, okay? So I've been going through a series called Ignition of Passion, right? And so the first, like a few weeks ago, I talked about passion, how to obtain passion and how to maintain passion if you already have passion when it comes to seeking God, seeking that relationship with Him. And then the following week, I gave you guys an extremely challenging message on worship. And I challenge you guys in the fact that worship is us expressing our love to God because of the grace that has been expressed to us. It's an opportunity for us to express our love to Him, not to worry about who's to our left or to who's to our right, not to worry about looking cool, but to worry, not to worry about anything, but to simply focus on that moment with God and to give our love to Him. And then I talked to you guys about the sad loss of Chadwick Boseman. And I talked about how we need to pursue life with a tenacity and leave and establish something for the generations that are coming after us. Chadwick, he left in an amazing, he was such a sensational man. He left something very powerful for the next generation to step into. He paved a way for the black community, for the black actors to step into something amazing. Right? He paved the way in that sense, as a lot of actors have. But he played a really diligent role in that, and he did it with struggle. Like, he did 6 movies while having 4 years of colon cancer. He did 9 movies, like, in his career, but, like, 6 of those were in 4 years. That shows you, like, the tenacity and the work ethic and how much drive this guy had to leave something for the generations to come after him. And I talked to you guys about David and Solomon in the temple and how David did that for Solomon, right? And then after that, I talked to you guys about spirit-led vision and that we need to be led by the ultimate wisdom, the Holy Spirit, to obtain the ultimate result, right? If we wanted to obtain the ultimate result, the ultimate reward in our life, then we need to go to the ultimate wisdom to receive that. We must be spirit-led at whatever we do, whether it's business, whether it's school, whether it's work, at whatever we do, we must be spirit-led. And if we're spirit-led, then chances are there's going to be favor and anointing at what we do. Amen? And so today I'm going to be talking to you, the title of my message is a little cheesy. But I believe it's important. It's called Shoot for the Stars, okay? And so something that God has been challenging me lately in my life is just to view Him in a very big perspective, to view Him in a greater perspective. How many of you know that our perspective can limit how we allow God to move in our life? So for so long, I have limited how God can move in my life because my perspective of God has been so small and so meager. My family growing up didn't exactly fall in the typical category of what we know as white middle class. The Caswells were never in the best position financially. I'm getting really raw with you guys. I want to share my heart and I want to be real. This is my story, okay? And so the Caswells were never in the best financial positions. Some months we made it okay. And some months we had to scrape to get by. Growing up in a house like that lacked consistent finances taught me that it was okay to settle. Yes, I was provided for, and my family made it through, but I didn't realize how much this played a role in teaching me that it was okay to settle. It was okay to keep living paycheck to paycheck. It was okay to ask my family members for money if we were short on finances that month. That it was just part of my life if I had to sell some of my possessions to pay rent that month. And I grew up with a poverty mindset, thinking that I worked for money instead of thinking of ways that money could work for me. I grew up in a house where my parents had big aspirations, big dreams, and carried a very entrepreneurial spirit. But each time my family ventured on a new business idea, a new invention, a new online business opportunity, they never seemed to work. These business ideas were always seen as God's golden ticket to get us out of poverty, finally. Each time I would be filled with a copious amount of hope, and then that hope would be squandered with a heavy devastation. Each failed business opportunity was just another twist of the knife in a wound that was already fresh. This ultimately taught me to be very cautious and fearful of trusting God with my finances, with my career, and with my dreams he has put on my heart. It taught me that if I pursue something that I'm passionate about, chances are I'm going to fail. I saw the pain and the wounds that a lack of finances and provision can bring to a family. This instilled much fear within me of one day having to provide for a wife and a family. I normalized the fact that I was walking through life with, whoa, my computer just jumped. Hold on, sorry. Hey. Hold on, I gotta find my spot. I normalized the fact that I was walking through life with a hovering cloud of anxiety and fear. Fear that I won't be able to provide. Fear that I won't be successful. And fear that every risk I take will fail. I had a father who would tell me things like, son, you can be successful at whatever you set your hands to do. Everything you will touch will be blessed and God will favor it. If you can imagine it, you can have it. If you can dream it, you can obtain it. Oh, what powerful words. Well, powerful to some. But to me, they were empty. My father spoke those words to validate me. He spoke them with good intention. But it felt that the words didn't line up with his actions. The words he spoke were necessary, but I didn't see the physical, tangible, and palpable evidence to back up his words. Needless to say, my father is a fantastic dad. An incredible man, but wasn't the best provider. I love my dad to pieces. I love my family practically more than anything. But the inevitable truth is I have been wounded. And so have you. We have all been wounded. Somehow, some way, somebody has hurt you and hurt you deeply. Whether you realize it or not, no matter how hard you try to mask it, whether it be with a superficial smile, counterfeit positivity, or a facade of strength and independence. We all have been wounded, and if those wounds in your life go undetected, they will become the excuse of why you don't pursue purpose. If those wounds in your life go undetected, they will become the excuse of why you don't pursue purpose. So I ask you guys, I want you guys to begin to dig deep. What is that wound in your life? It's different for everybody. My wound was financially. And this financial wound has caused an outlook on my life to view finances with struggle. That it's okay to settle when it comes to my finances rather than looking for ways to make more money and to make money work for me. Right? Like, I settle all the time. And so I've been learning to see God in my finances because scripture says that God is a provider. He calls us to walk in abundance. He calls us to shoot for the stars. He calls us to live big, abundant, prosperous lives. He has that for every single one of us. And you can step into that. But don't allow your wound to limit your perspective of God. Because my wound limited my perspective of God. And for you, that might look different. For you, it might not be so much financially. Maybe you're financially taken care of. But it could be physical or verbal abuse. And because of it, you're not a very physical person. You don't like people touching you. You just, because of that wound, you're not very close with people. It could be a certain wound that you didn't have a father in your life, a father figure. And because of that, you have a hard time seeing God as a father figure in your life. You didn't get that proper validation. Maybe your dad, your biological father was in your life, or a father figure was in your life, but maybe they weren't present all the time. And so you've had to learn to view God as your father. Our wounds play into the way that we view God. And I know this is, what I'm saying is kind of sad. Like, it's very deep. And I want you guys to be okay with that. Because I think a lot of times we run from our feelings, especially in U.S. culture, In America, like, we run from our feelings all the time. And one thing that I can honestly say is I've studied culture more and more and read some books, and I've discovered that one thing that seems to be common across the board in most cultures is that it's weak for men to cry. In Chinese culture, if the man cries, it's considered dishonorable. Very dishonorable. It's, if the man cries, like, they have zero respect for the man of the household anymore. If he shows any kind of emotion like that, there has to be a strength there. In Mexican culture, I'm learning that there's, I think it's the word machiste, right? Mm-hmm. And it's basically the concept that a man has to be super macho, super manly, and he can't be emotionally weak. He needs to be emotionally stable. And yes, it's okay to be emotionally stable, but we have to understand the importance of processing our feelings. Because here's this thing. Some of you have been going through life, and you haven't been processing the things that have been happening to you. Yes, you're going through life, and one thing happens, not that big of a deal. Another thing happens, you just brush it off. And another thing happens, you just keep taking the punches on the chin, but you just keep walking through life, not processing any of it. And one day you blow up and you have a scene. And I don't want you guys to reach that point. I want you guys to know that it's okay to feel. It's okay to have that deep, awkward moment where you're having this moment with Jesus. And it's just a moment of soft sensitivity, maybe even weakness, conviction, whatever that might look like for you. But I don't want you to continue going through life not knowing what your wounds are. Breakthrough happens. And there's this a common phrase in psychology, and it's called name it and tame it. Basically, what it is basically like, you need to name your wound and then tame what it keeps causing you to do. So name what's happening, like name what's happened to you or maybe currently happening to you. Name it and then tame it. Don't let it continue to conquer your life. Don't let it continue to dictate your decisions. Right when I was sharing about Chadwick, what I said in my sermon is that there's really no present. Yes, what we're living right now is we're living in the present time, but the present time is where the past and the future meet together in one spot, simultaneously. It's constantly happening. Every second that passes by, the future and the past are meeting. And so the truth is your vision of the future, your dreams, your ambitions, your God-given dreams, your desires, are they pulling you into the future? Or is your past what's causing you to dictate your decision making? The things that have hurt you, do you find yourself that you're still making decisions based off of that? Are you still putting up walls in your heart to the people around you because of what's happened to you in the past? Or are you driven by the future and the victory that Jesus has already proclaimed over your life and the abundance and the prosperity and the things that he's called you to? Where does your drive of decision-making come from? What's the source of that? It's important to know. And so I want you guys to be okay with grief. This is the only Bible verse I have in my sermon today. This is the only sermon I've ever written with one Bible verse, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." And so I want you to understand that there's a proper way to grieve. That because we overlook grief so much, it's almost like this thing we try to avoid, right? When a lot of us experience a loss of a family member or a friend, the first thing we do is it's almost like we bury them and we move on. And we continue going to school the next day. We continue going to work and life goes on. And life does go on. But I want you guys to sit in your feelings, to process what's happening, and to truly sit in that. Because it says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." Worldly grief, grief that can lead you to anger and destruction and death, this is grief that can turn evil if not monitored correctly. But good grief, godly grief, is just sitting in your feelings, having that moment with God, giving your feelings to God and just saying, God, this is how I'm feeling. Help me. God, what do you think about this situation? Guide me in this situation. I'm hurt. I need you. And it's, I found it very interesting while I was studying grief. And in the Jewish culture, in Judaism, they have this, it's called 12 months of grief. That's a long time. To us, that sounds ridiculous. Like 12 months of sitting in our feelings. Like that sounds like a lot. And it's called Shiva. And so the Shiva is the first 7 days of mourning. So when someone dies, they have Shiva, which is the first 7 days. And basically what Shiva is you stay in your house and you don't work. You don't go to school. You don't do anything. You sit in your house and you process your feelings. And you have visitors. You have people that come and visit you. They bring you snacks. They bring you flowers. They bring you whatever as comfort. But the point is that they make time to sit in that. And then the months after that, they start going back to work. This section of time is called Shloshim. And it's basically like a time where they go back to work, but they're still cut back from work. They're only working kind of half days. It's slow. And they do this for months. And they're taking their time. They're easing back into it. And then they're in the next phase called Shodesh, which is they're finally back to work. But they have a day out of the week where they still sit in their feelings and remember the person that they lost. You guys see how long of a process this is. See, in America, we bury the body and we continue on with our lives as if nothing happened. And it's almost like, yeah, I'm strong because I can do that. I'm strong because I can continue on with life and not sit in my feelings. And I want to tell you, strength is not stuffing your feelings. Strength is meeting your feelings at where they stand. And so I want you guys to begin to face your feelings and to be comfortable with that. Because what I see in a lot of you is a lot of buried feelings, unprocessed feelings. And I can see as I'm talking that some of you are trying to think of what those are. And so I have more to share, but I kind of want to take a moment. Anise, if you could come up here real quick, just to share the 5 words that it takes to lament. So what lamenting is, some of you probably haven't heard that word before, but lament is to feel or express sorrow or regret, to lament his absence, to mourn for a time. So to feel, express sorrow or regret. So Anise is going to share 5 words with you, 4 or 5 words. I don't remember, but I heard it at a leadership meeting and I loved it. And so I want to share it with you guys. And so when she shares these words with you, I want the one that sticks to you, and I want you to tie it to what you've been going through these past weeks, this past year, the years prior, whatever that wound is, whatever that source of whatever the word she's about to say is, I want you guys to sit and I want you guys to process these words. And I want you guys to be open and to share how you feel. So go ahead.
I didn't know I was doing this, so I have to remember. But 3 that I know is tender. So tender can be like when you cut yourself and you feel like the tenderness of the wound, or like you have a bruise and you touch it and it hurts. What is that feeling of tenderness? Where does that come from? That's one. Sadness is another one. We all know sadness. Anger. I can't remember the other two. Three out of five. Almost there. Yeah, but practically what we did at that leadership meeting is we looked at these words, and it was the 3 that I just said, and then we thought about what events in our life have been causing those feelings. So one of the things that I shared, my grandma passed away like 3 weeks ago, and so there's sadness and there's also anger in that, because she's in Mexico and I'm here, and Corona, like we can't travel, and my parents not being able to go and be with their family. And so there's sadness in that because my grandma's gone, but there's also anger because I wish that the things were different. And so there can be small moments like that that cause those feelings that sometimes we don't even realize. I didn't realize, like I realized I was sad about my grandma, but I didn't realize I was angry about the situation. And so when you sit in that, like Devin is saying, you realize that there is more feelings. It's not like, oh, I'm sad, like I failed my math test, but it's like, okay, what are the feelings behind that? Do I feel like I'm not good enough? Do I feel like I could have done better? Do I feel like I'm not gonna get the approval of my friends or my family? There always is more than just the initial feeling of reaction that you experience. So those are three words. Devin can find out, or I can find out the other two, that can help you process those events in your life and those that kind of spark. And it doesn't have to be just those five words. I mean, there's so many other words for you to describe what you're feeling, but those are the five core that can lead you to think about what other feelings you're experiencing.
Guys, that's my best friend. All right. So I'm going to give you guys like 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, 5 to 8 minutes of Jesus time. So I want you guys to find your corner in the room, wherever it is, can be anywhere. And I want you guys to have a moment with Jesus, with what we just talked about, with the words we just shared with you. And we're going to come back together and we're going to share.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you guys would like to partner with me, you can do that at paypal.me/Devin Caswell. All donations go right back into the ministry so we can help advance the kingdom together. If you haven't already, please make sure to follow me on all my other social media platforms. We're on YouTube, Anchor, Spotify, and Instagram. We post different content on each platform and we want you guys to stay as updated as possible. Again, thank you so much for all your guys' love and support. We'll see you guys soon.